APHILOSOPHICCONSIDERATIONOFMAN 405. 406 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY. The wise hoping to pick up the stray bits of knowledge that may fall like crumbs from the banquet table. Those who feed upon the crusts of wisdom, however, become more impoverished even as they cat, and he who listens long enough will eventually become bankrupt from his listening. When the day of payment arrives, the unfortunate debtor has nothing with which to pay but his own life. Most of those who now suffer from spiritual and intellectual ailments suffer from the listener's disease. Men who seek masters shall be rewarded by becoming slaves, for it is the free man who speaks and the bondsman who listens. The modern school child is impoverished through the act of remembering, and starts life hopelessly in debt. To a certain extent, the great minds of the world have rendered humanity mentally indigent. By being a great philosopher, Plato has rendered innumerable other minds unsound, and thus contributed to the ethical delinquency of millions. In a similar sense, Christianity is in bankruptcy to its founder, and the Orient will never be able to pay Buddha the interest on its indebtedness. Instead of stimulating the body of thought, the philosopher all too often paralyzes it. The great teachers of the world have ever drawn to themselves a coterie of mental corpses which, like dead planets, take on a semblance of life by reflecting the radiance of the central orb about which they revolve. Fall lowers, to use the words of Shakespeare, have a lean and hungry look. Though totally unmindful of the fact, they are actually economizing in an effort to liquidate disciples so much that they dare look no man in the face, but feel duty bound to spend their days and nights hymning their instructors with proper glories. Philosophy today is overwhelmed by a deluge of nondescriptites. We have the Hegelites, the Bergsonites, the Bentham asterisk V, the Millwrights, the Watsonites. Come multi-cites. This it is the significator of approbation and agreement, a fervent so mote it be, as it were, from the amen corner. Individuals incapable of formulating even a notion of their own, frantically search for someone to agree with, thereby entering upon the path of mental deterioration, in which the intellect descends from the simple state of not knowing to the actual inability to know. An individual who becomes an it consequently pleads intellectual bankruptcy and assumes what must ultimately prove to be the odious role of serf. From all this it becomes evident that thought is its own reward, that no man can actually profit from the labors of others but must work out his own mental salvation with untiring diligence. The purpose of a great mind is to inspire to accomplishment, but this end is usually frustrated by an erring multitude who cannot preserve inspiration as an indefinite quality but must become letter worshippers by prostrating their own minds before a superior intellect. It has always been a serious question to me whether Jesus ever actually spoke the words, "If ye love me, keep my commandments," for the statement is clearly out of accord with both divine and human reason and reeks to high heaven with the sanctified odor of pious interpolation. Truth personified might well cry out, "Let him who loves me, seek me himself and discover me in his own way, and I will reward him with myself." In an old alchemical figure is depicted an aged alchemist out with a lantern at night following in the footsteps of wisdom, while in another part of the picture is a group of worldly wise men huddled together exchanging their notions with each other, and totally oblivious to the spirit of truth but a few feet distant from them. You who would discover the inner mysteries of life, depart from the concepts of the many. Be not followers of strange gods, but seek reality according to the impulses of your own higher rationality. Become creative thinkers, not simply followers of blind cults. Admit enslave meant to no mind, read the words of the wise, but think for yourself. Attend to the conversations of the learned, but let your conclusions be your own. Be not hasty to condemn, but accept only that which you are capable of reasoning through, with the aid of that divine power resident within. And finally, remember the words of Buddha, "I will not believe a thing because any man says it, not even if it be the reputed word of God. I will only believe it when to me it is true." APHILOSOPHICCONSIDERATIONOFMAN 407. THE Planetary Ziggurat. The Ziggurals, or observation towers, of the Chaldeans rise in seven spiral TRRACES. And signify the astral sphere composed of the sidereal agencies of the seven sacred planets. In its ascent to the gods, the regenerated soul climbs the spiral pathway. Returning to each of the planetary spirits the respective soul quality Sheyhad originally bestowed. Chapter 18. The Ladder of the Gods. Wth his opened eye the Dangma, or initiated disciple, beholds as a grand staircase the concatenated order of worlds that extends upward from the material darkness, which is the mundane sphere, and disappears into that impenetrable spiritual darkness which is the abiding state of the first divine. ITY. The midmost portion of this staircase is illumined by the light of reason, but its extremities are rendered incomprehensible by a Stygian gloom. This flight of worlds rests upon Earth's lurid base, and the first steps arc slimy with the fetid rot of matter, rising in many levels from this ignoble footing. The stairway of spheres vanishes into the very presence of transcendent cause, whose blinding radiance, ill-concealed by 7,000 veils, is to man's unadeared vision an utter lightless NCSS. This is the mystic ladder of Jacob's vision upon which the patriarch beheld the angelic choirs. Two great streams of souls move upon this symbolic staircase, one ascending and the other descending, impelled by the rhythm of generation. Virgin spirits, eternal with the fullness of God, emerge from behind the veils that cover the threefold darkness above, and swooping downward with bird-like speed arc enveloped in the noxious vapors of mortality. Of this descent Plotinus writes, "And thus the soul, though of divine origin, and proceeding from the regions on high, becomes merged in the dark receptacle of body, and being naturally a posterior God, it descends hither through a certain voluntary inclination, for the sake of power, and of adorning inferior concerns. Hence, if it swiftly flicks from hence it will suffer no injury from its revolt, since by this means it receives a knowledge of evil, unfolds its latent powers, and exhibits a 409. 410 LECTURESONANCINTPHILOSOPHY. Variety of operations peculiar to its nature, which by perpetua ally abiding in an incorporeal habit, and never proceeding into energy, would have been bestowed in vain. Entering the inferior gloom, these souls are swallowed up in the living death of the body. This mystery was revealed by the secret rites of the Phrygians, as evidenced by Hippolytus. Hence Heraclitus declares that we live the death of the soul and die the life of the soul, thus arcanely intimating that when the rational nature agitates the irrational nature, bestowing upon it the semblance of life, it sacrifices its own life and only regains liberty by retiring from the concerns of the outer organism. Lament. In the unaccustomed state in which his soul found itself. In form, Empedocles declares that the process of generation causes the living to pass into the dead. From below mount upward the redeemed, whose natures increasingly luminous, shine like stars in a Cimmerian night. From the dismal underworld the abode of vain fears and terrible regrets moves an endless file, climbing steadily toward God up the steps, or worlds, of its salvation. THQS the illus. Trius ones who are approaching the summit of their tedious climb, are in the terms of Plato, raised above all inferior good. Concerning the return of the liberated soul to its virgin nature, H.P. Blavatsky writes, this is the state which such seers as Plotinus and Apollonius termed the union to the deity, which the ancient yogins called Isvara, and the modern call Samadhi, but this state is as far above modern clairvoyance as the stars above glowworms. Plotinus, as is well known, was a clairvoyant seer during his whole and daily life, and yet, he had been united to his God but 6 times. During the 66 years of his existence, as he himself confessed to Porphyry. From the foregoing it is evident that the soul for many ages alternately retires from and approaches divinity, only stabilizing its nature after being completely disentangled from the concerns of the flesh. It is not intended that mortal man should as yet be constant in his power to behold the perfect face, but that strengthened by intermittent vision he shall strive with greater temerity to establish the continuity of the spiritual perceptions. THEL ADDER OF THEGODS 411. From the many levels, which together form the vast stair case, pour forth lives in quest of forms, and forms in quest of life. From the pits of mortal slime crawl repulsive creatures, whose sightless eyes arc unresponsive to the light. Slowly, painfully, awkwardly, these half-animate monstrosities obey the deep hidden urge of an imprisoned soul, and grope their way toward truth. From the dark fastnesses of the mist, reeking jungle come forth the slinking horrors whose claws are death and whose bared fangs were fashioned to rend and tear. Then from the broad plains come the patient, sad-eyed, serving brutes, which see and feel but cannot understand. From the dark caves of Earth's primal day emerges the dim progenitor of man who, beating his hairy breast with crude, misshapen hands, emitted the first war cry of his kind. The distant places also give up their savage hordes, for slayer and savior alike arc marching on through the ages toward inevitable perfection, breaking the shackles that bind them to the grindstones of the mighty. The slaves join the great processional, as do the merchants who barter and sell, and the thieves who scheme and steal. From their marble tombs rise up the spirits of the hero dead, the Caesars and the Alexanders, and from their honored crypts come forth prince and potentate bearing orb and scepter, and gathering their ermine robes about them they solemnly climb die stairs of space. Higher upon the great flight are the scientists and the philosophers, who in pensive mood plod the weary way. At the very point where the staircase disappears into the mysterious presence of the ineffable, stand the radiant saviors, the great teachers of humanity, who dimly visible for a moment, pass into the darkness of God. Awesome is the spectacle of this grand march, souls moving toward their Maker, passing from form to form in the endless quest for the formless, approaching ever nearer to that greatness which is the virtue of perfection. Though an infinite diversity confronts the eye, yet the whole mystery may be summed up in 3 short words, God seeking God. Philosophy does not give the soul freedom from universal law. In the doctrine of the mean, it is written, the heavenly appointment of life is called nature, in accordance with